Ríos en el arco, la defensa es colosal. González, Orlando, La Torre, Nicolás Fuentes y Chumpitas, Chale, Mifrin y Cubillas, y el gran Perico León, Bailón y Alberto Gallardo.
Hello and welcome to the Peruvian Waltz. We've had international football and big news coming out of Liga One. My name is Mike Rice. I'm here with Renato Vilches. Renato, how are you doing?
I'm doing totally fine. It's now that like my winter break is over. I have to go back to like already to college, but thankfully it's like a free day for me and we're going to be able to talk about some of the latest stuff that's happening in Peruvian football. So can't wait for that.
Exactly, yes. We've had the friendlies and the call-ups for the next qualifiers coming up next week. The friendlies, so we've had a 1-1 draw with Panama and a 3-0 win over Jamaica. So Renato, what are your sort of impressions from the Panama game to start with?
Well, I have to say that the player that impressed me the most was Marcos Lopez. I know that everyone has been praising Marcos Lopez for his recent like qualifying performances, but I saw like a lot of like of Marcos Lopez's explosiveness and also his fast pace and also even like him like contributing to the offense on his corner. Unfortunately, Lopez had to come off injured during like the second half, but the good news is that there's nothing serious. It seems like it was just very minor that Lopez hope to definitely be ready for the Colombia game that's set to happen late as of this recording later this week on Friday. What I also liked was Alex Valera. He finally scored his first goal against the Peru national team in the shirt. I do think Valera this could be a great option for us moving on now that he's like he got like two starts, one against Japan and one against Jamaica, where he scored two goals in both games. I will say that I was surprised with Aldo Corso for once. Like somehow it seems like he was actually like starting this for once contributing to the offense. I do think he is still slow, but I do see him that he is like marking down his opponents, which is something that's going to be needed against Colombia because I do think Aldo Corso, for better or worse, can play his best games against Colombia, which is something that we're definitely going to be needing. If I do have to criticize one thing, maybe is that not more so of a criticism, but a little of a nitpicking that maybe Jesus Castillo was a bit nervous throughout his time. It's his first start, and I just feel like Jesus Castillo needs a little more time, a little more experience with the national team and friendlies in order to be accustomed to international level.
Yeah, he's breaking through in Cristal very quickly. He's not a huge amount of Liga One experience, but he's shown his quality. But yeah, he's getting used to the environment. I think is going to be something important for him. And another season with Cristal next year, if he's playing regularly, he could really help sort of build up his confidence as well as getting more used to playing that sort of senior football, I guess, in the bigger stage. We saw like in the Panama game, Gareca went with the same system as he likes to use, the sort of 4-3-3. At times it seemed a lot, the big changes, obviously, there with a number of players unable to play, especially Cueva, Lapadula and Carrillo in the up front. And we saw Flores and Polo playing on the wings, and there seemed to be a bit of a difficulty in getting forward and being imaginative, attacking quickly, which at times is what's so good about Gareca's style with his first choice forwards. It's quick, it's counter-attacking, it can be difficult at times for other defences to put up with. So those players coming in, I don't feel they really covered themselves in glory, to say the least, I guess. How do you feel?
I mean, you definitely saw in the friendlies that there's with how Gareca's like preferred system can work, and especially because even though he didn't have like his first choice players, you can definitely see that Gareca was looking for his alternatives. Now, before I get to that, I have to say that Edison Flores, I think we could all be in agreement that Edison Flores was just not in it against Panama. I just felt like his recent injuries and also his lack of confidence has been really costing him. And I just feel like Gareca should notice that it's not really working out for Edison Flores. And the fact that he got injured again is a big worry. So that's something we could take account of. But considering that alternatives has been a theme in these friendlies, during the Jamaica friendly, I feel like Gareca has finally found the substitute of Christian Cueva that he's been looking for years since he has took over as the Peru national team coach. And I think he finally found that with Jairo Concha. Let me just say that Jairo Concha was great in that friendly against Jamaica. You saw him like more like in the middle of the attack, like contributing with his like movements, his passing, like even like at one point he almost scored, which was a mighty goal that he could have scored, but it was stopped by the Jamaica keeper. And you could definitely see like a lot of the Cueva influence that is in like Jairo Concha. It's already, it says a lot when Jairo Concha has already been called up for the upcoming qualifiers, which we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, well, like so, things changed a bit in the Jamaica friendly. We changed up the system as well. So it wasn't the 4-3-3. We've sort of got almost like a 4-4-2 sort of diamond formation going with Concha at the top behind Iberico and Valera. Both strikers getting goals in the game. And then a nice golazo from Yotun to make it 3-0. The system completely changed in that way in that game, and I think that seemed to get the better out of this group of players that were playing. Obviously, the two wide players from the first game, injuries, they've had extensive injuries for the last season or so. So it's hard for them to just be brought back straight into the national team and be expected to play like they've been perfectly fine for a while. This change of setup really helps. And players like Iberico as well, and Valera getting his second goal in two games really helps some of those players, I think. How about you?
Well, I also think what the best part about these friendlies is that I think Gareca was found the perfect time to have these friendlies, because you mentioned before that some of these players have not had continuity in like in almost for 1 or 2 months, like players like Aldo Corso, who would seem like likely to start against Colombia. He hasn't played since October, so he needed, Aldo Corso needed to get in shape. Guyans hasn't played since December, so he would have to get in shape as well. Gallese, since November, needs to get in shape. Like, you need to use those friendlies for both testing new players and getting the players in shape, and Gareca did both of those rightfully. And it also, like, considering these results, especially against after Jamaica, you hope that those friendlies can give us great confidence against Colombia, because that's going to be a massive match for us, because Colombia is like an opponent that we can either beat or lose badly, but it's a wait and see.
Yeah, 100%. Let's say Giese once again making some incredible saves and keeping Peru in the game against Panama, especially with one of his saves. For me, Philly's one of the most underrated keepers in South America, if not all over the place. How important is he to Peru's setup?
I mean, we gotta be honest. Pedro Gallese is our number one for a long, long time, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. I feel like the more as he gets older, he seems to be like getting better each time. Although I will say that I'm glad that Angel Ocampos was part of the squad and is going to be part of the squad for the upcoming matches, because I do think that he deserved it after a great season with Alianza, where he played a key role for them to win the title.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's good to get the backups to Gallese. In recent call-ups have all been older than Gallese, so it's nice to have a younger goalkeeper, not a young goalkeeper, but he's still in his 20s, and someone who could hopefully be part of that set-up for a while as well. It's good to see. Like you say, we've had the call-ups the day after the Jamaica game came through. Iberico got his first goal, but he's not been called up for the qualifiers, but we've got Santiago Ameño, who's back in the side. We've got the usuals, Quaver, Lapadula and Correa are back in. Some of the big names that were missing out, Farfan and Ramos, had mostly through injury, I think that makes the most sense. And Jairo Concha keeps his place. How are you feeling, Renato, about the call-ups?
I think I'm really satisfied. I have to say I'm happy for Jairo Concha. He's really deserved this call-up after a fantastic performance against Jamaica. And as I said, I think Gareca has sees Concha as the quote-unquote like backup of Cueva. Do I think that he'll immediately be on the bench for against for the upcoming qualifiers? That's tough to say because you can only have 23 players on the bench, but you may never know. Maybe Gareca pull a surprise. It's a shame that Everico wasn't called up, but I do think that the goal he scored against Jamaica should give him great confidence and that he can always be an option for the future. And besides, I do think I wouldn't be surprised if Everico were to be going abroad at some point this year. I mean, he already had a great season in Melgar. He could probably do it again until the middle of the year. It's a shame that Christian Ramos is injured because I have been liking his partnership with Alexander Kayens. In the right central pair, Gareca has called Carlos Zambrano, Miguel Araujo, and Renzo Garces. Honestly, I do not have much confidence with Zambrano starting against Colombia because recently he's not been going through a good time at Boca. He's been getting heavily criticized and I feel like he's out of confidence. I think it's either it should be Miguel Araujo, who I feel like who is so underrated and really has been deserving of more chances to start for Peru, especially with how underrated he is in the Netherlands. But I also maybe I can see a great chance for Renzo Garces. I thought he was showed a lot of intensity and security against Jamaica. There's a reason why he's considered one of the best defenders in Liga 1 with Useve. As for Ormeño, it's surprising because Ormeño hasn't really been able to really establish himself at León in Mexico. I feel like he's the tactics that he plays with at León aren't really the same as what he did at Puebla. That's probably why he's struggling to score there. But I do think Gareca thus could see some options that Ormeño can give you, like with his biotype, possibly he can defend against like in the last minute against any corner kicks due to his height. It's good that Alex Valera is still taking consideration after already like in his first two starts, he's already has two goals in his record and he can add more. I am a bit concerned with Lapadula's situation because he's going through a rough time at Benevento where he's already frozen out of the club due to like a dispute with the owners of the club, but that we'll discuss later. But no more, I think Gareca's just basically calling up everyone. Like he knows these two upcoming matches are going to be like vital to see how Peru's direction in the upcoming like this right at the end of like this qualifying cycle. And to see if we can qualify for Qatar, I think that I can know that this is either now or never.
Yeah, so yeah, we go into to the Colombia game away and the Ecuador game at home after that. Two absolutely huge matches with so much on the line, really. As we get into sort of towards the end of qualifying for Qatar, another round of games after this one. We had a question from Andres on the Pruwalt's Twitter page. If Peru don't make the World Cup, what changes should there be with this squad? Do you feel, Renato?
Well, I mean, that's if we really do reach that unfortunate scenario, but we don't qualify for the Qatar. I mean, that also depends if Gareca will stay or not. I mean, at the same time, though, I feel like with those friendlies, I feel like we got a great glimpse of what we can see in the future. We got Alex Valera. We have Renzo Garces, Gianfranco Chavez. Marcos Lopez is still very young, like only, I think, recently turned 22. He's still got like a years ahead of him. There's even options that are currently haven't even been considered by Gareca, like Paolo Reyna and stuff. Jesus Castillo and... There's definitely a future in these players. Like, as long as they're guided by reliable experience, like Pedro Gallesi, Oshimari Otun, Renato Tapia, I definitely can see these boys being their future. And I've already told you this, that Jairo Concha could be Cueva's successor in training, being called up to the upcoming qualifiers. Hopefully, he can learn from Cueva. Well, not really too much from Cueva, like, in terms of, like, how to, like, to party or stuff, but, like, to mean in the field, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, like you say, bringing up the fact that whether Garekos will be continuing or not, his contract runs up until the end of the World Cup. He's relied a lot on some of his more experienced players for a while now. He's started to use, we've had these friendlies where he's been able to call up some younger players, some new players into the squad. I guess for me, some of that depends on where he thinks he could get those players. Does he think, I can restart and bring some of these players through and qualify, or does he feel these experienced players are the ones I'm going with and I'm going to go for it, and if we don't get there, that's it? So it's that for me is going to be interesting to see where he thinks he is. But I did enjoy that he did mix up his system in the two games, so he'd show those young players coming through. We can move on, like you say, Jairo Concha coming in. He played behind two strikers and things like that. Lopez is young. We've got Gilmay Lora right back, who hopefully is getting a lot of good experience behind Advíncula and Corzo. There's that young base of players. I think they're the ones who should be, after this World Cup, if we didn't qualify, it should be looking at replacing maybe some of those older players who aren't nailed on starters, your likes of Zambrano, for instance, who's struggling at club level at the moment. Should we be looking at a younger centre-back to be playing more regularly?
There's even some right now that haven't even got their chance, like Gustavo Dulanto. Like, if perhaps you could consider him as an option for the left side, because really we don't, aside from Abraham and Gaines, we don't really got much left-sided, like, center backs.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it doesn't need a full shake up and getting rid of everyone who's a little bit older, but it's looking at trying to find those young players you think, yeah, these will be our starters for the next 5, 6, 7 years. Like, these are the players who could be big for this team, and let's get them in, let's start building this team, I think, if the worst comes to worst and Peru don't qualify. So moving on from the internationals, let's get on to the craziness of Liga One. So for a second year running, TAS has had to, the Court Arbitration for Sport has had to get involved on which leagues teams will actually be playing in. Last year it was Alianza, Lima, who ended up winning the league. And now this season, Cusco are the side that are the most affected, as they are now going to be playing in Liga 2. TAS has come back. They were awarded a win earlier on in the season after claiming that Matias Sapo at Cienciano was not properly registered for a game that was meant to play. The FAPFA gave them the 3 points. It's been taken to TAS. TAS have gone in favour of Cienciano, meaning that Cusco have dropped down into the relegation zones after we've gone through all of the playoffs, everything's been awarded. But now Binacional and San Martín are safe. They are staying in Liga One for this season. It's going to be 19 teams, and Cusco have been relegated. Renato, your immediate thoughts on this?
Honestly, if I can say one thing, is this shows you how poorly organized Peruvian football is. It's come to a point where the FAPFA can no longer do anything right. Stop, it's like, stuff like this from happening. It's just already come to a point where I feel like teams have finally realized that in order for you to not get relegated, you don't do this by performance, but you gotta, like, report it to the sports courts. Now, don't get me wrong, I feel like Cusco FC really needed those 2 points taken away over a false claim, but at the same time, that thing should have been done like a while ago, not like just now, because, and thinking 2 weeks,
Liga 1, the upcoming season, will be starting in February 3rd. And the fact that we just heard of this, like, new ruling now is just, like, maybe it's good for, like, teams like Binacional and San Martin, but they also got to get building on their squads ASAP because they had no time to prepare, and I'm pretty sure they didn't even start their preseasons yet. So that's just nuts, and I just feel like Lozano's just making himself look like a fool, like to not organize better. And it just goes to show you, unfortunately, that's really the reality.
Yeah, it's well, the concerning points, I think, are that these last two seasons that it's happening, it's all been for quite simple mistakes to a degree. With Allianz the year before, they decided to impose a financial penalty rather than a points penalty on Carlos Stein, which was then overturned and Allianz has survived. This season, once again, it's just on registrations. It's something that shouldn't be too difficult to work out. These are sort of black and white rules. There's no gray areas in this, really, to a degree. So it takes away a lot of the credibility of the FAFA once again to have this happen 2 years in a row. And it's difficult to it's difficult to see things changing at times. They're going to need to really sort out their organisation of the league at the level this season. And if anything comes up throughout the year, at this point, clubs will know that they'll be going to TAS, and I think TAS are going to probably be sick of Peru after a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like now, like ever since that whole like debacle with Bolivia and us getting those 3 points from TAS, I just feel like they just know that ending Peru late is just going to be annoying.
Yeah, but looking at the sides, obviously, so Cusco will be now playing in Liga 2. Last season, they had a crazy season, absolutely crazy. 42 goals in 26 games. They scored the third highest goal scorers in the league. Yeah, their defence let in 49. An entertaining team, but only won 5 games all season. As a neutral, I think every game that they were involved in would have been incredible. But they had a lot of issues. They've then gone and spent heavily in this offseason planning for Liga 1, assuming they would stay up, I guess. They've brought in a lot of players, including the Panama goal scorer, former Cinciano center midfielder coming in. A lot of these players will be playing Liga 2 now when they should expected to be playing Liga 1. You'd imagine some, if their agents are on the ball, will have clauses that would say that they could leave if the relegation happened. But what do you see happening for Cusco this season?
I mean, I know some players are committed with staying Cusco to play Liga 2. I heard Felucho Rodriguez is from a few journalists that he's actually going to be staying with Cusco to help play, like, to help them reach Liga 1, which is great, like, fair play to him, is that he's actually going to be, like, being a professional, he will, like, stick to his contract. But I'm hearing also stories that players like Arierza, who was at Cienciano last season, Jose Ferrara, who is the Panamanian striker that was signed from the Ecuadorian League, they're now having second thoughts, and they're been told that they're in talks with their agents to see what they can do. So it's going to be interesting to see what will happen. Maybe they will stay, they help the Cusco FC, or maybe they could be loaned to other teams in Liga 1. I just think that even speaking of, like, beyond Cusco, that some teams are going to, like, I know San Martin, Binacional will want to target loan deals for some players who are out of favor in some Liga 1 clubs. So expect that to happen.
Yeah, they've got San Martin especially, the squad's been decimated as they plan for life in Liga 2. Number of their big players, like San Aleto, is gone. So they've not got long to prepare for the new season. Binacional may be in a slightly better situation. I think so they'll be more ready to go. So I've seen Carlos Stein, those worth highlighting, they will keep their place this year. That would have been incredibly unfortunate for them to win the playoffs and then have to go through it all again. Do you feel that's been the right decision, is to keep it at 19 teams and to keep that side up and send Cusco down? Do you think this is the best way to go, Renato?
I mean, at this point, 19 teams seems weird, but I mean, if it's either that or you have to get removed Carlos Stein from like League One, which would be very unfortunate and such unfair to them who really earned their way in League last season, League Dos, where they actually earned a right to play League One by through the pitch. So I feel like it's fair play that they should stay. They really, that would be like honestly just devastating to see all their efforts that they've done to just thrown away.
Yeah, it's good to see that they're not going to have to go through that after a technical relegation last year on the technicalities, and then if this happened to them again, it'd probably be one of the most unlucky clubs going if that had happened. We League One starting in a couple of weeks, so we'll have to see how those sides prepare over this next few weeks to get themselves ready. While the new fixtures are sorted out and everything like that. But moving on, we've got a couple of moves for players, proven players abroad especially. So Luis Abraham has been having a difficult time in Granada since coming. He's had a few starts, he's played in left back at times, I think. He's fallen down behind a few players in the Granada pecking order in La Liga in Spain. He's arranged a loan move into Mexico and with Cruz Azul for the year. I think this is something that's really important for him, for his national team place as much as his domestic career. How are you feeling about the move, Renato? Good to see him linking up with Reynoso.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a shame that it didn't work out for Abraham at Granada or in such Spanish football. I mean, we would have wanted to see Abraham be like, we were expecting to see him to be a starter at Granada, but I just feel like the coach at Granada just had no faith in him. Like, it's something, there must be a reason why he didn't like him. It became to a point where Abraham became the fit choice center back. And for a national team player, Eric Brom knew that he has to play. If he's not going to play, then Jadek is not going to call him up. But at Cruz Azul, I feel like this could be his chance to revive himself. And he's going to be with a coach that knows Peruvian so well, with Reynoso, because Reynoso, I said, he always wanted a left-sided center back. And I've been told that Reynoso actually was the one that requested the signing of Abraham. Like, it seems like he really wants him. And that's what Abraham needs, a coach that actually wants him, has the confidence in him. Because what made him work at Vélez was the confidence of Gabriel Heinze. Now he can possibly get that with Reynoso. And it's great to see another Peruvian defender in Mexico, because Peruvians, for the most part, they're guaranteed to do well in Mexico. No doubt about it.
Yeah, hopefully we get the best from him, and good place for him personally, as well as for the national team. The other one is having a difficult time over it after a fantastic start to Serie B. Lapadula is having a bit of a falling out, like you've mentioned at the beginning of the season, with his club Benevento. Where do we see this happening? I think it looks like it's there's Serie A clubs interested. There's clubs in Brazil as well. Not the best for him going into the qualifiers. A lot on his mind, I assume, but he seems, once he'll link up with the national team, I'm sure he'll obviously be very focused on the job at hand. But it'll be good. It'll be good for him, I guess, if he can get a move across to Serie A or into Brazil. Where do you feel would be best for him, Renato?
I mean, really, I feel like it depends how the sporting project is, because honestly, Lapadula just needs to get out of Benevento. I just feel like he's going through a bad time there. it seems like his relationship with the board has really is at a horrible moment, and he needs to find somewhere where he's guaranteed to play, because with the clubs he's been linked in Serie A, I really don't know if he's going to be like a starter. I honestly personally would like to see them Lapadula play maybe in South American football, because he said he doesn't rule out playing in South America. He said he wants to be closer to his home, to his new home, Peru. He's already been linked to some clubs in Brazil, most notably Atlético Mineiro, who is his eight up to his age and offered the player to Atlético Mineiro, and the board are considering the signing. So I would like to see Lapadula and Libertadores. So I think it's just hopefully that Lapadula can get his club situation like fixed, because we need him to play, because if he's not going to be playing, that could be bad news. That's going to be very bad news for us.
Yeah, completely. And still a little bit of time in Europe for the transfer windows. Hopefully things for him can get sorted. So we move on now to the World Cup qualifiers away in Colombia, first of all, and home to Ecuador. Renato, what are your thoughts? How many points do you think we're going to get out of these two games?
You know what? I'm going with 6 points. I do think we can beat Colombia and Barranquilla, because I feel like Peru are coming in with a mentality of like revenge. I think they really regret losing that home game against Colombia in Lima. But this time, Legareca is going to have to find a game plan to beat them. And I know beating Colombia at home is not easy, but it ain't impossible, because I know there's been a few times in history where Peru beat Colombia and Barranquilla before, so it's not an impossible task. I mean, this could maybe beating Colombia and Barranquilla could be like our Quito, the equivalent of how when we beat Ecuador and Quito in the last cycle, or just a victory no one expected.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I don't want to sound pessimistic, so I'll go with the 6 points as well. But whatever happens, there's still games after this. There's the teams around us. There's 4 teams going for 3 places at the moment. But the other sides have still got difficult games. Chile are playing Argentina, aren't they? So if there are points dropped, it's not the end of the world. There's still the chances to get into those at least the playoff place. There's still that opportunity. So it's just remaining calm.
Anything can happen in football.
Exactly.
The most miraculous things can happen. Like the good thing is like the race for those 3 spots are very open. The gap between the points is not as huge as I think they were, but I think the only way we can do it is by getting those points. Like, this is our only chance. If you want Qatar, you're gonna have to earn it by winning those matches.
Yeah, let's hope for the best. So thanks Renato. I think we can wrap it up there. Thanks everyone for listening. Any last points, Renato, you'd like to make?
I just want to wish everyone, like in the Peru national team, the good luck, because on this Friday, after this recording, it's going to be a massive, massive night in Colombia. I just hope the game plan works fine and that we get those 3 points, and we'll see what we could think about before the Ecuador game after that Colombia match.
Yeah, let's look forward to that. Right, well, thank you very much. That was Renato Vilches. I'm Mike Rice. We'll speak to you soon once these qualifiers are over with. Let's hope for some good news. Okay, thank you.